This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Of Free Left and a Left Wing Perspective here on 89.0 Free FM. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mick. Yeah, I don't know if I'm a gentleman.
Well, it's the first of the month.
And we've got a wordsmith here. August. Mm. What does it mean?
From the Emperor.
Augustus.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just had Julius, July.
Okay.
Yeah, so most of it was after Roman emperors. Well, Janus is like the two-faced goddess, January.
Okay.
It's all Roman in origin.
Yeah. So they left out Caligula, he wasn't very...
No, and Nero.
Nero.
Yeah. and Tiberius, no, he got pushed to one side as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to push people off the cliff.
They just generally degenerated into...
I just watched...
megalomaniacs and sex maniacs and...
Whatever.
Anything went.
I just watched... yesterday, actually, I came home and was lying on the couch, and what was the movie? Caligula popped up. So
Malcolm McDowell.
And that's dated.
Actually, it's it got taken hold of. He does a very good job as the emperor. You can just imagine he did a very good job as the actor, but it was pretty explicit.
Yeah, very much so.
Because apparently, some guy who was a porno king. Managed to grab the sort of production rights of it.
Dino De Laurentiis, by any chance.
He was
a director and he was into that sort of stuff as well.
So he pushed in a bit of reasonably graphic pornography in it as well. Mm. So, yeah.
How to ruin a good movie.
It shouldn't have been in that type of movie, but it did portray just the largesse that these emperors had. Tiberius and then Caligula.
They were busy taking all the money they could off the people to pay for their palatial.
But their word was property. Their word was just that was it. You know?
Well, they became gods. They decided they should be worshipped as gods.
And Tiberius was famous for saying, "I don't want the people to love me. I just need them to fear me."
Yep.
And
he lived on an island, didn't he? Yeah. And he pushed people off the cliff.
For amusement.
What's the name of that island that's just off the island?
Capri.
I quite like Roman stuff, but that wasn't... I've seen it before, so I knew what it was about. But Malcolm McDowell, he's a good actor because he was also in...
Clockwork Orange.
Yeah. That's a real ultra-violence. You recognise them from the old British TV and film industry. Uh-huh. It's got big names in it, yeah.
Oh, it'll be who's who.
But it wasn't allowed to be showed for ages, you know. It got cut and all that and wasn't allowed to be showed. And even the guy who produced it, I think he didn't want it, realised it was just a bit too out there.
Yeah, there's that. There was Clockwork Orange, there was Last Tango in Paris, and I think there was Straw Dogs was another one.
Mm-hmm. If was another one sort of anti-establishment stuff. Mm, you know,
But the word August means impressive, majestic, and respected.
Oh.
That's what it means.
And it's also used a lot of botanical names too.
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Alexis Augustus, you know, it just means big leaf.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. So majestic comes in there.
Just shows you where root words come from.
Yeah, the root of the Latin name.
Yeah. Anyway, there's been quite a few things that happened this week, and I think some from the previous week.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few articles that popped up and stuff about our self-entitled Prime Minister and helicopter trips.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, yes.
You've been gallivanting around the country, is that?
Yes, yes. When just saying, well, I need to be picked up and taken to a farmer's rally or Kmart, whatever. Or I've missed my boat and I have to take the helicopter to Wellington, sort of thing, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or at a taxpayer's expense.
Yes, I kind of said, there was this comment that was made, and I think it was made by the National Party when Labor was in power, that using the taxpayers, the old personal ATM.
Yeah.
You could see that with our so-called Prime Minister.
Because if he's going around, is this part of his election campaigning? Or
no,
well,
no.
Is it a bit of a grey area?
Technically it's not. But otherwise it is.
It's a grey area.
Yeah. It's a very grey area.
Yeah. But he got picked up for it. And it's not as bad as the Shane Jones Canadian episode. Like he had a purpose. Shane Jones seems to have just been a big man in Canada. You know?
Yes.
Whatever limo on call.
Yes. Yeah, there was an article that was in stuff. It talked about having this helicopter on standby at the Waitangi Day celebrations.
Oh, yeah.
In case there was a the protest got out of hand, and they would need to
to the Porongia Redoubt.
Whisk old Seymour and Luxon away.
Okay.
But I think the Te Pāti Māori response to what Seymour was saying it was actually your party that's inciting division. This is why there's so much angst at the Waitangi Day celebrations through the Treaty Principles Bill. Mm. Not because the Māori hate you as a party, it's just that you're inciting division.
Mm. Mm. Waitangi Day was always, actually, and Māori too, generally Māori celebrate, especially Ngāpuri. It's a celebratory, but it's also a time for discussion.
Yeah.
About what you know, issues that affect Māori and also Māori Pākehā, of course. Mm. So this
helicopter, has he apologised for this or?
No, he's been caught out. I think. More than anything, I don't think he's been.
He's not been penalised.
Officially, it was used for government purposes.
That covers a multitude of things, doesn't it?
Yeah. So the headline reads: Prime Minister defends 20 million.
Come on, Craig.
You moved the decimal point, didn't you?
This is electionary, you know.
Defends 20,000 spend on chopper from Auckland to Hamilton for farmer rally and Kmart hub trip.
Right.
So he went down here and then he went back, did he?
Yeah,
Where's the Kmart hub?
Presumably he must have used the chopper when he went down to field days back in June.
Is the Kmart hub, is that the one out of Ruakura, maybe?
Yeah. Luxon's diary for the day lists a Waikato public meeting. Luxon attended the Federated Farmers Restoring Farmer Confidence Tour at Mystery Creek, an event at the same venue as the field days.
Yeah.
When he flew to the event, a helicopter crew from the Royal New Zealand Navy flew from Whenuapai Air Base in Auckland to the inner city helipad at Mechanics Bay, then on to Hamilton, and it cost $7,650.
How did they get up to the $20,000?
Well, that would have to be for the Kmart one.
Oh, okay.
For his trip to the Kmart distribution centre at the Ruakura Superhub, an A-109 chopper flew up from the Ohakia Air Base near Palmerston North to Mechanics Bay, then on to Hamilton. The aircraft then returned to Mechanics Bay before flying back to Ohakia. The cost of that? And it was 5.9 flying hours, $12,691.
Mm.
That is quite steep, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. And that sort of brought me onto this next article, which...
So that way you don't have to drive amongst the peasants, is
that probably sounds like it.
Yeah.
Look at me, I'm self-entitled.
Mm.
Defence.
I've got an idea. Yeah. Why doesn't John Key give him? He's just got his license. Why doesn't John take him down as a buddy thing? You know?
Or talk
member to, of the club,
or talk to their friend Richie McCaw.
Yeah. We don't know what Richie is.
Reveal defence force choppers and bulletproof car on call to protect Seymour and Luxon on Waitangi Day.
Hmm. That's what they're going to do, or they have done.
Oh, that was the fear if things had spun out of control at the Waitangi celebrations.
They thought it was going to be a political assassination.
Yeah, well, that's what it smelt like.
Well, I suppose.
That was the reason given so they could indulge themselves and have a limousine and a chopper.
Well, and also don't forget, Waitangi is the access is a single lane bridge. If a large group wanted to have a go.
So
it would be relatively easy to isolate
from a
them.
Security point of view.
Block that bridge,
And you can go around the other way, but it's windy. You could, you know, they could really be isolated if an organised attempt was to do what they were doing.
Yeah, but the Defence Force was on standby to evacuate Luxon, Seymour and the Governor-General from Waitangi Day events last year at the height of the tensions over the Coalition's doomed treaty principles.
But they could take them off on a longboat because our ancestors came here on a longboat.
So
they could take them off. That would be symbolic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but the response response from the Maori Party or said here, Te Pāti Maori has always condemned threats, intimidation and violence. David Seymour should stop trying to blame others for the division created by his own political agenda. Party spokesperson said.
Yeah,
That's about the sum total of it.
So they've created the problem themselves.
Yeah, and then it says going on to Luxon again, five times he's called an Air Force Express to the Beehive.
Mm.
So that's public, you know, that'd be public money.
Yeah, it's always an area of, okay, are they doing it as their prime ministerial duties? Yeah, and then, but I say, it's always should
very
be
convenient,
picked up.
Isn't it? Mm. It's very convenient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because let's face it, they're politicking. They're all politicking at present.
Yeah, definitely.
More so than ever, you know?
Mm. Yeah. And that kind of brings us on to that next point of Mr. Winston Peters.
Yeah, politicking extraordinaire.
Yeah. That's what he made that comments about. Was it Lawrence Zhu?
Yeah, from the Green Party.
Zhu Nan.
He's
lived in New Zealand since 1994. He was told he came here 5 minutes ago. It's unbelievable. Yeah, Christopher Luxon has criticised his New Zealand First Lady, but as I said to you before,
so what did Winston say exactly? Told him to go back to his own country. Did he quote
him? Winston Peters had a long track record with inappropriate attention seeking comments designed to get the media and other politicians to talk about him instead of the issues. This is another example that Luxon said. To our Kiwi Chinese community, national, and I back you. This is Luxon. Peters hit back at what he called pearl clutching after he told Green List MP Lawrence Zhu Nan to go back to where he came from in the House on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And the Foreign Minister said the faux outrage just proved the point he was trying to make about New Zealand being a democratic country.
Yeah.
Which I don't really follow his reasoning. Former Labour Prime Minister Helen Clark called Peter's comments dangerous, while retired career diplomat Carl Werker described them as calls for deep national shame.
Mm-hmm.
Peters was criticising the former Labour government's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic during general debate on Wednesday, when Green Zhu Nan interrupted with, "Are you vaccinated?" Peters recoiled, according to the article, and said, attacked Zhu Nan, who was born in Tianjin, China, but has lived here in New Zealand since 1994. "I'm not making it up, sunshine." He's trying to be a cockney. "I'm not making it up, sunshine. I know you came here 5 minutes ago. Go back to your own country. That's where they lie like flatfish, but they don't lie like that here, all right." So he's trying to do a Del Boy.
And then there was.
But it's appalling, though, because if Peters had been on the receiving end of similar sort of comments, it'd have been an outcry.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. You mentioned the whole COVID thing because Have you viewed any of the YouTube postings about Anthony Fauci being grilled?
Yes, I saw that. And he's had to take the Fifth Amendment on several occasions.
Because
he's been accused of profiteering and gaining a criminal act and gaining. Pecuniary advantage of the situation.
But his speech to the committee, he basically said that it's just a vindictive Rand Paul.
That's what
it basically comes down to. Rand Paul got all heavy and kicked out Fauci's lawyer.
But isn't the harm of this big thing over the COVID thing, and fine to have inquiries and to see what we can do better and what we shouldn't do.
It undermines public confidence.
But if we get another COVID type of thing,
it's going to be even worse.
How many people will take the vaccine then if we need to have a vaccine?
Exactly.
You know, so damage is done. I'm not necessarily a pro-vaccine. I wouldn't have had it, but I had a sick wife, so I did it. And I see the point of it. We had New Zealand, countries that were highly vaccinated, had really low death rates, extremely low death rates, whereas America had higher ones. The other countries that had quite low death rates were actually poor African countries, and that's because there was no one alive to be old to die from COVID anyway.
Yeah, because they probably died of AIDS.
Well, they died earlier because of poverty.
Because they talked about what... And the thing about it, Anthony Fauci got awards or bestowed on him by the likes of George W. Bush and his father, and they paid huge respect to the work he'd done, particularly around the AIDS community, AIDS stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then mentioned in the article that he got a pardon from Biden.
So
I can't remember what that was.
So basically, this is just a stoush between Democrats and Republicans, is it?
I think it's just a.
This is Trump and vindictive.
But particularly Rand Paul.
But didn't Trump want to have people drink, try bleach or something? Wasn't he?
Or light. Or bleach. Crazy stuff.
It's insane.
Yeah.
What they got is they got their hands on his diaries that he'd written a lot of things in his diaries, and that they're all on computer. And it's for public record, and there's nothing that kind of suggests anything of a criminal nature.
No, the pressure was on these health officials, including New Zealand, the whole world. It was a major epidemic that was killing people, were dying from it. They had to make, normally they get a bit of, they take a lot of time to decide. But the pressure cooker was on to roll out vaccines, etc., to try and save the populations.
Well, Al Jazeera have just got a rerun of about that called Flattening the Curve, and how lots of African countries didn't even get one shot of vaccine. They said that during the course of the article, this vaccine was a result of 20 years' development. Because one myth was going around, this has been rushed through, it hasn't been verified, blah, blah, but apparently
there had been work
20 odd years of work research on it.
And I think because he did the same kind of length of work with the AIDS.
Well, they actually look at in this inquiries, do they look at all the profit taking that happened? You know, because a lot of people became very rich out of
a lot of pharmaceutical companies made huge profits.
Protective clothing and
we know all that stuff.
It was money made as well.
Well, I feel sorry for Fauci because I thought he was, doing the best he could under extremely difficult circumstances.
Extreme pressure,
And they don't recognise that.
Just had a hard time.
That's right.
Yeah, you know.
We used to get vitriolic mail and threats and all sorts of stuff.
I made a comment on one of the podcasts. I think it was an MS one.
Right.
And I said, how many lives has Rand Paul actually saved?
And let's face it, there was a connection between what he called the freedom movement. We saw it in Wellington and all that, between the freedom movement and less government, et cetera, and the anti-vaxxers. And not all by any means, but there's definitely people floating around on all those
the same ideologies are cropping up.
They're cropping up in leadership roles on council and stuff like that. So I always go back to that comment about. What if we just did nothing? We didn't have the vaccine. We just
business as usual.
They're all run. What happens then?
The numbers would have been horrendous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because we do. Let's face it, we're a wealthy country. You wouldn't believe it in some areas, but we are a wealthy country.
Well, I mean, Trump
had a lot of old people stuck in care homes.
Well, Boris Johnson, he was all for letting nature take its course. Until he pointed out but they vote. And Trump said, oh, I want to keep the numbers down because if you keep the numbers down, we don't have as many. And he's going, yes, but it...
The herd mentality.
Yeah, but it doesn't work like that, you know.
The strongest.
Just because
survive.
You pretend there's not 20,000 dead doesn't mean there aren't 20,000 dead.
Mm. Yeah, and
strange logic.
And he's going to say that the rich and the wealthy and the self-entitled are going to be protected from the vaccine.
Mm.
Yeah, you just have to go back into history to talk about things like the sweating sickness, for example. It wasn't just the poor who died of that.
Yeah. And let's face it, even the Black Plague and things like that, it was only that it went into the wealthy classes as well, not because that they had the money to isolate themselves, but they wanted servants. Etc.
Their
own goal, really. If they'd really gone and lived in a cottage on the seaside on one of their estates, and cleaned their own, made their own tea, and cut their own firewood, they would have been all right.
So we have to watch this space, see how Fauci gets on.
Yeah,
very much so, because they want him in. Rand Paul wants him in prison. As simple as that.
Yeah,
just insane.
Insane.
Yeah. It's a bit like libertarian. He's a libertarian, isn't he? Ran and his son. What's his son's father's name? They're both in. One was a. Which one's the younger one? There's two of them. The dad is also.
Okay, he's a Kentucky.
His dad was a politician now, and now the son is the senator.
Yeah.
I can't remember his first name, but
definitely
libertarian type politics.
But
sounds great, and it is okay if you're wealthy.
On the face of it, you look at the details.
Yeah,
and whose liberty is at stake?
Very much so. Yeah, yeah. I just hope that he's had enough rope that he'll hang himself, Rand Paul. We should just change tack slightly for a moment because we know that Fred is a birder.
Oh yeah,
and in the news this week, Bill Oddie passed away.
He slipped off the mortal coil. Yeah.
Who's Bill Oddie?
Bill Oddie,
goody goody,
But he was more known as a conservationist, and a birder.
He
was advocating, protecting the environment, all those
sort of issues. Yeah, so he used his fame for some good.
Yeah, 85.
Yeah, I was quite surprised how old he was. Yeah,
okay.
R.I.P. Bill Oddie.
Bill Oddie. Yeah. So we just remembering Bill.
Mm.
Yeah. What else you got there, Mick?
Well, on going back to health, and who's not doing their job properly, but health harm. Report not published 1 year on. Apparently Health New Zealand has yet to publish a national summary of serious incidents in the health system a year after the Ombudsman instructed them to restart reporting.
Mm.
Ombudsman John Allen told Health New Zealand in July 2025 to restart its axed reports of serious and fatal health care harm. And that came after the Post, presumably the Wellington Post, or Christchurch Post paper, maybe, came out to complain that the agency had refused to release serious event summaries despite an ombudsman ruling back in 2007 that the information should be made public. Mm. Allen recommended Health New Zealand advise a new healthcare harm reporting system within 12 months, which hasn't been done. Health New Zealand is saying they're still working on it.
That's what,
I just don't understand why they stopped reporting serious incidents.
Yeah, there was one article
that should be made public.
Yeah, there was one article made about a specialist who that said he had fallen asleep at the wheel.
Mm. I saw that.
A couple of times, and he's decided, I've had enough here.
And he's moving to Australia.
So he's working long hours, exhausted.
Yeah, and that tells her, that's another part of the health harm argument.
People overworked and making mistakes.
Yeah, overworking.
And when they do make mistakes, they get the button and they're thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
Working in impossible conditions.
And then we're hearing that Brown, Minister Brown
right.
is appointing what I would suspect are yes people to the medical council. Advisory council to have more regulation placed on doctors.
Are they meant to go off who the recommendations are from the medical fraternity, etc.?
Sounds like there have been appointments made by Brown himself.
Okay. But yeah. I wonder where he gets the advice from, who to appoint. Is it from the clubhouse at the country club
potentially, you know? Because there was this issue with an article that was... Andrea Vance had questioned one of the appointments, a female... And she had made commentary on some issue, but I can't recall what the issue was. But she has been appointed as a to this council. But
most of them would have the qualifications.
They would have the qualification. Yeah, yeah. But you'd have to look at why they've been appointed, who's appointing them, and what their background is.
So they're basically trying to stop doctors complaining about their conditions or the state
that's what
of the
it
health,
sounds
health
like.
System.
Yeah.
And let's face it, it'd be pretty easy to find enough medical people who'd go along being yes just because of their financial circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, doctors aren't known to be poor.
I know. Yeah. We know that, Fred. Yeah. I was just trying to think of it. But according to the article, Brown had used a platform to criticise Andrea Vance.
Okay.
Yeah, over that. So he's appointed these two people. Yeah, they may be qualified, yeah, but I suspect what's their other motives in there?
Yeah, you'd be suspicious, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and it kind of leads on to something else that kind of has a bit of a smell about it, and it's to do with the sale of Kina Ora properties and who benefited. So it says, it goes on like this: major national donor paid 2.5 for selling state houses.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. So I picked that up from work.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and said, well, it says here, one of the people who is a director of Bailey's, that's the company involved, is Paula Bennett.
Strange.
Right.
Yeah. It's a club. It's a club, you know, and we're not in it, is an old quote.
According to Kina Ora, quote, Kina Ora, the government and the company say everything is above board and the contract was a result of a robust process, including independent oversight.
Who made that statement?
Well, that was...
Paula Bennett?
Yeah, within this article. It wasn't quoted. It was just in the article.
Yeah, whenever you hear that sort of phrasing, you can usually take the opposite.
And there's nothing... Probably, you know, nothing's provable. It just always has that taint with it, doesn't it? Because it is a club and who you know and all that. So, you know, it's not illegal. It just doesn't...
It doesn't smell right.
No, it doesn't pass the smell test, Mick.
No, it doesn't do it. So there's a few things like here. Labour says that's not a good look. That's in the comments. Because of what it says are close links to the National Party.
Okay.
Well, and we all know there was a review of Kina Ora done by Bill English.
Yeah.
And it was saying that, quote, Kina Ora was not financially sustainable. But why would you use one of your people to do that review? It does smell, doesn't it?
Well, and let's face it, the point of Kina Ora is to provide housing for those, you know, usually... Well, almost always have a disability or they're financially poor. You know, there's a purpose for it as to make us a cohesive society.
But when you start adding the, you've got an agency or a company, a real estate company like Bailey's, who make donations to the National Party, and you've got a...
Suddenly you get the contract,
And then you've got Paula Bennett in there. The smell starts to get a little bit more strong.
And it may well be all above board.
But it certainly
has a taint to it.
Doesn't it look good at all? If it had been a Labour thing...
Or a Māori thing. Goodness. You know, can't do that.
So, I'll mix this up here. Oh, that's right. One of the things that we should kind of talk about, because it has cropped up in the online, and it's cropped in another not on Facebook and stuff like that, is the ousting of Karim Khan.
The chief
prosecutor for the International Criminal Court.
That's right. Yeah. And he got voted out. He didn't get supported by his own government too. They said they weren't going to support him. Based on old sexual abuse claims, is that right?
Yeah, that's what they were saying, with an aide.
Impropriety or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But when you kind of read the article that it's based on, that I saw, it's like the Zionists saying, "Oh, we told you so," and the US saying they wanted to dismantle the international court.
Yeah.
Kind of smell another rat there somewhere.
Well, and that's the reality is often people who don't go, "Oh, there's someone. What can we find on them to throw the dirt?"
Yeah.
And this smells like the same thing. They didn't like him because he wasn't intimidated by Israel and America, etc.
Mm.
And of course, it's like, okay, what do we got on this guy that we can either get him removed or discredited? You know?
Yeah.
And this seems has worked. I think he has gone, didn't he?
Yeah, he was ousted because that was about 140 countries.
And I think, did we abstain or something? What did we do?
Yeah, I don't know what we did. But there was a link there to on the Free Palestine's Palestinian Solidarity to make comment to I think it's Minister Peters and Prime Minister Luxon about they support him.
So it just shows you how infected our whole political trust system is.
Mm.
That people have to. I'm thinking of Graham Platner in America. You know, he had allegations. He was very popular, etc., amongst the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Was a shoo-in to be elected, and probably a shoo-in to beat the Republican Senator Collins, etc. But okay, someone came up and said, accused him of rape, etc. In the end, that was not the first time of him being impropriety from years earlier.
Impropriety, yeah.
But in the end, the pressure gets too much, and they've gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
you
wonder what's behind it all, you know?
Yeah, I kind of...
Is it just, they got too famous, so I'll bring them down to earth, or, you know, the old saying, there's no fury like a woman scorned, you know?
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting, because that was from the previous week.
Yeah, I did see that.
His ousting, and it was over that.
And does that send the message, the intimidation to the next one? Don't go near us or we'll look in your cupboard, your closet, you know?
Or put a patsy in that position, one who's not going to be so, not going to be scared of the likes of the Zionist state and the United States of Israel, but that also leads on to the fact that, they've allowed Netanyahu out of his cage.
Yeah.
He was able to attend the funeral of Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. Who was it? Lindsey Graham, you know, he was a war, in my opinion, was just how he got ever let, but he was a warmonger. He was in love with Israel.
Yeah.
And he got away with it. And of course, he kept on getting re-elected. Mm. So that either tells you something about Americans in, where was he, South Carolina?
South Carolina, South Carolina.
So, but
apparently Trump was welling up at the memorial service.
Probably Netanyahu was too.
Yeah. Crimea River stuff, yeah.
But, it just sad that this guy took pleasure in bombing Iran and Gaza, and he wanted to wipe Gaza off the map, and just took pleasure in the killing of, if you weren't with America, you should, it's okay to destroy. That's awful from a politician, but
from a human being.
Yeah, as a human being.
We were just talking about Karim Khan. You know, he's the chief prosecutor who was ousted the International Criminal Court. He popped out. Yeah, and I smell a Mossad CIA rat.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just found something on him, and then And say, who hasn't got a stuff in their closets, really, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, and we don't, it seems to be, we're not going, well, yeah, that was 10 years ago or whatever, it still can come back and bite you.
Yeah, yeah. Very much so, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you talked about the Platinum thing, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've looked, you know, there's a huge of interest in America, a Democrat Senate race to who's going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party in Michigan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's, the guy Al Sayed Abdul,
and
someone Haley Stevens, and Haley Stevens is the Democrat establishment person they want. But of course, AIPAC and others, they said they've already spent over $50 million. This is in just a primary to decide who's going to represent the party. It's just amazing. But they're trying to tag things to him that he's. That he's, you know, a misogynist, and that he's all this, and whether he is or not, but the dirt
the usual
just
smear
comes
tactic,
out.
Smear
yeah.
tactic.
Mm, yes, yeah.
Yeah. And they've really chucked it at him. But that's going to be in a couple of days' time.
But he stood firm, though.
He has.
I don't know who he was speaking to, someone on the MS, I think.
He speaks very well. Oh, my God.
He sounds like a Yank, for a better word.
And he says, I'm not a democratic socialist, because that's sort of the party of America that's rising, you know, got lots of support. He said, but I want free health care for all. I don't want anyone left behind. I don't want our bombs going to Israel to kill their kids when our kids need glasses and food. That's why AIPAC don't want them to win. And there's only one senator out of whatever. But his message resonates with a lot. So it'll be very interesting.
And that kind of resonates around the fact that they did these polls about the support of Israel.
Yeah.
And the polls had shown that they were negative.
Oh, yeah. Israel is a poison chalice in America right now. Not necessarily amongst the evangelical movement, but other places. You know, it's certainly finally, and it's a good thing, in my opinion, finally Americans are waking up that their favourite ally isn't doing a particularly nice thing in the world. It hasn't for some time.
Yeah, they looked at this poll, and they went back, and they said at one part there was plus 54 for Israel.
Yeah.
But since then, it's now, what was it, about negative 15 or 16
right.
or something?
Yeah. It's a huge, shift in America.
Over 60% shift.
And I noticed even AOC, you know, and I'm nervous about her because I think she's a pop, will sit on the fence all the way through. Mm. But she may well be the Democrat nominee the way she's going. But even she's been far more harder on Israel, got harder and harder and harder. Obviously, the advisors look at the polls and go, boy, this is starting to irk Americans what Israel's done.
And just going back to our own politics, and they were talking about who would people potentially vote for or had an opinion on, and they talked to a couple of these people, I'll vote for National, blah, blah, blah. But then they spoke to this woman, I'm definitely not going to vote for National because of that whole Gaza thing.
Okay.
So that was here.
And I've always had that, you know, debate with some, because, you know, Mick and I, and, you know, and you've been to them too, but Mick and I go regularly to Palestinian rallies, etc. And I've had that debate. Don't take it for granted. Just because someone votes National that they don't like, don't presume that, they're just pro-Israel. No. There's a lot of people who I know vote National are also aghast at what's happening in Gaza. We shouldn't presume it's just a Green versus maybe Labour versus Tories. You know, there's people, maybe not New Zealand versus, I'm not sure we know their leadership is very pro-Israel. What their base thinks, I think it probably goes along with the pro-Israel thing based on the race card being used on everything else.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah.
And there's no guarantee if you Labour.
No. And we saw that. Labour was in government when it first kicked off, and they were pretty quiet on it all, to say the least.
So it's two main parties. Well,
yeah.
Three main parties.
And that doesn't mean what their base thinks or the voters think.
Their party.
Yeah.
The party, you know.
Yeah.
But that's really interesting in America, because America, and I think they don't even talk about it, but really what really protects Israel is the diplomatic cover. because I said even when there was a vote, I can't remember what it was about, but I see New Zealand abstained, and it had something to do with Israel or whatever, the Middle East, and I thought, this is America's influence. So if America starts not giving Israel so much cover diplomatically, okay, Israel's got power and it's got influence for the evangelical church and money, etc., but you start losing that diplomatic immunity. That'll put an awful lot of pressure on them.
Yeah.
And really, what do we really want? We want Israel. Yeah, okay, some people say, oh, get rid of Israel. I just want them to change. I just don't want them to kill people. I want them to learn to share. I want them to be part of the Middle East, not try and dominate it.
Yeah, but that's going to be an easy one. This
could have been avoided if they'd negotiated in good faith back in 1948.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the world had actually stuck up for the indigenous, you know, the Palestinians there and said, okay.
After a world war where this sort of thing was going on, it was frowned upon, condemned.
Yeah.
And then after
the Holocaust, the next generation of victims, like the Holocaust and the Second World War, was about Jews being victimised. And now, after that, moved to Israel, and the next lot of people who are the secondary victims of the whole thing are Palestinians or Arabs, and now it turns out Persians, Lebanese, anyone that's around there.
The Nakba.
So, you know, it's...
It was an awful thing too.
But I see, just on that, and I haven't read the details yet, but I see Trump is touting that they've sort of got a bit closer. Hamas has said they don't want to won't be in government, etc. And Trump's sort of touting it as that I've got this deal that the Palestinians will govern themselves and Gaza and Israel will withdraw.
Well, he's got that Board of Peace thing going.
I believe nonsense.
I also heard report Hamas agreed to disarm.
Yeah.
One report.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's going to do the disarming?
Details.
Yeah.
Because if you remember what happened in Lebanon when the PLO were told to leave, what happened after that?
Yeah. Well, then you get civil.
But there were massacres, weren't there?
Yeah.
Of civilians.
Yeah. But that's a glimmer of hope because, you know, it must be awful for a Palestinian mother, if she's got any children left or whatever, to try and bring up a family in a tent when all your structures are down and you're relying on aid packages that have to go through if they get through. And I know.
You see, a problem with ambulances, the fleet of ambulances now ground to a halt because they can't get spare parts.
So, you know, very much controlled. So anything... I personally, even if the Yanks went in there and were the border, they would probably have far more largesse than ideologically crazed Israeli soldiers.
I don't know about that.
Well, unless they come from an evangelical unit in the deep south.
They're pro-Israeli.
Yeah, which they could do. They might even, you know, you have to probably... Look, they probably vet them, maybe.
Vision process.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know about this whole thing.
But let's hope. All we really want, the first thing is stop the killing. Stop, you know, there's been over 1,000 Palestinians killed since the ceasefire.
Oh, we know all that. Yeah, they always talk about that on the Al Jazeera.
Yeah, but Israel doesn't tell people that, you know. Lebanese, you know, they're still killing who they want.
Murdering people who they like.
Ideally, any police force should be United Nations.
Yeah, ideally. Yeah, absolutely.
Ideally, but it's hamstrung. It's been...
Israel keeps saying no to anything, you know.
Well, just say, so, well... Be vetted.
But what about when the Balkans, when that went on, that was a different story.
Oh, yeah.
We had war crime trials. We had...
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they've...
There's different laws for some, Mick, by the same.
Perhaps I'm just naive.
Yeah. There was... I think they did find... When you were speaking about the Balkans, when you mentioned it there, Mick, they'd found another mass grave from that time. Another one.
You get hate involved and...
And it's still there. It's still festering around underneath.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. If you get hate involved and you just... If you're fighting the enemy, but if the enemy, it becomes a religious zealot type thing.
And then you can make them a scapegoat, there you go.
Well, and we saw that with Israel, you know, or the Palestinians are human animals, kill them all, kill their children, you know. It was awful.
That's
there's still that belief going on.
That's a belief of an animal.
Yeah. Well, they keep calling the Palestinians animals.
Who's the ones behaving like animals?
Yeah, look in the mirror. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I watched a interesting world history podcast last night, and it talked about, remember how the Stasi and their, what they did in Yugoslav? Well, when they were on the retreat, they came to this town, Bleiburg or something, and then the British told them to basically turn them around and to go back to Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
And into the hands of Tito's partisans.
And they killed them,
and there was more killing.
Yeah.
So just a revolt.
More murdering, we should say.
And they did talk about when they did this construction work in Yugoslavia, they found a mass grave of them. Yeah. Just ongoing
revenge
hate,
and hate.
Hate.
Revenge
yeah.
and hate. Revenge.
Yeah, that's yeah. it. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no end to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No wonder why this vindictiveness still remains in the Balkans. Yeah, and you go on. Yeah.
Yeah, it's how to forgive, you know.
Yes.
And you have to, I thought the South Africans, you know, they had their, after they ended, apartheid ended, they then had that commission.
Reconciliation.
And I thought that was, had warts on it.
Yeah.
But this was a genuine effort to try
To calm the farm.
So to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, but, although I didn't have much trust in old, what's her name? Winnie Mandela. And what she got up to? Yeah, what she got up to?
Yeah,
with her boys that are going around
murdering people. Yeah.
Well, just you can't control who you're married to or your children or anything else.
Yeah, just her. Never trusted her.
I've got to go for it. My brother's been over visiting Mum, but he bought the Australian. He came over on the plane to Hamilton.
Yeah.
And apart from it was the plane, the emergency lights in the aisle wouldn't go, so he had a two-hour and a half-hour delay.
Yeah.
But he got off. But he brought over the Australian paper. And oh my God, you think now why is Australia? I'm always curious about why people think like they do.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Australian is a sort of
what's it say? Faceless Ben coup.
Ben, there's a big coup going on in Victoria. They've got rid of one party leader and all that, and so it's a Labor Party. She was the Labor Party leader, but
she's gone,
and there's another guy who's in the Labor Party, but he's more right wing.
Oh dear.
That sounds like 1980s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the paper itself is quite interesting because I was looking and I said, well, how do people decide what they think? And there's an article here by Greg Sheridan, who's right-wing, and he mentions, this is, it's an opinion piece, but radical socialists hijacked the Democrats in America.
Radical socialists.
Radical socialists. He mentions communists 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times in his article.
I wonder if everyone was.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But you just read it and you think,
That's blatant BS. That's just.
But Pauline, One Nation is rising, and they sell that. They sell that. So, and the whole paper is full of
anti-socialist,
anti-Muslim things. Not all the places, and there's some decent articles. A decent article there about Labour enthralled to Islamists and the far left. This is coming out, and they've got a commission into the awful atrocity with the on the beach in Bondi, was it? Yeah, Jewish Aussies, some of them were killed.
What about the far? Does he mention the word far right in there?
Yeah.
Highly unlikely.
But here's one I just saw just this morning, and it was like thinking about Winston Peters and One Nation leader Pauline Hanson has lost her bid to overturn a landmark finding that she racially vilified Green Senator Mayran Faruqi when she told her to piss off back to Pakistan.
Mm.
Does that sound like Winston Peters?
I just see another headline there. It says, police say no to guns for Jewish guards.
Yeah, it's because in this commission, as they were saying...
They talked about that, didn't they?
Why can't we arm our own people to protect ourselves?
Vigilantism.
We know where that goes. Very much so.
Yeah. But I say that another headline is Labour enthralled to Islamists and the far left.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then they wonder why there's so much prejudice, etc. going around.
But then I blame the newspaper owners who obviously go along with this stuff.
But who owns this paper?
Murdoch.
Yeah. Fox. Go back into the
Fox,
right.
Fox or Ellison's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Them.
Bipartisan
for sure.
Yeah.
Trump caught short on arms, puts further strikes on hold.
Yeah, about that. Short run out of weapons to kill Iranians with.
I think he might be short somewhere else, on arms. Yeah.
And this is not going well, though, is it? His war in the Middle East, despite all the rhetoric.
It's going nowhere.
The Iranians are running rings around them.
Yeah,
they've got mountainous.
Let's face it, America's doing dreadful damage to them. But diplomatically,
the streets ahead of them.
Because let's face it, once you've blown up the ship, if there's people left alive who've still got a gun, they can disperse. You get lone wolves. How are you going to get every person with a handheld? And let's face it, it's on the Gulf there. You can get a handheld missile that's not going to sink a ship.
But
it can still damage it. It can still, the insurers go, we don't want that, because what if they do get lucky and a spark blows up a ship? The insurance levies go up huge, so they don't want to take the risk.
It's just a reminder of how Monte Cassino worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bombed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
It became a nest for the Germans.
And if they're fighting, the Iranians are fighting for their survival. Because Israel and America, at this stage, they want Iran gone.
Oh, yeah, we want a failed state.
They want Libya. Well, we might know that, but the mainstream public aren't particularly told that. Told that the regime is a bastard regime, which it may well be.
What's that regime in Washington, D.C. then? That's a bastard regime.
Yeah. But it's quite interesting. But there's also an interesting article about... we were talking earlier about Senator Lindsey Graham. I almost cried. Senator's delights as bombs rain down.
Crimea River.
Yeah, just that he couldn't do enough to help. And I say, whether it'll turn out he had all this money and had money in all the arms manufacturers, or it was friends did, who knows? Mm. But he was definitely a war hawk.
Warmonger, No great loss, but you shouldn't speak ill of the dead. Sorry, but that's just the way.
And that's right. But he certainly didn't. I don't think many. It's awful when you have people delight in the deaths of others.
Of whoever's side.
Yeah.
Ordinary folk like you and I get blown to pieces, and they say,
I thought another thing that caught my eye, being was D-Day sites heritage listed. They've added the World Heritage List. The UN committee has added the Omaha, Utah, Sword, Gold, and Juno, where they landed on Europe. But what caught my eye in the article was Allied troops came ashore on June the 6th, 1944, along with the Pont de Hoc assault site. And all central to the campaign to liberate Western Europe from Nazi occupation during World War II. Not one mention of the Russians.
Yeah, so we know exactly what they were doing on their side.
And let's say central. I would say what the Russians did in Eastern Europe was the why Germany lost in the end.
They stopped them from getting the oil at Azerbaijan.
And then they got to Berlin.
And they lost. That was a big thing. 20 million people.
Where
was the nothing? And that's what
that's
I thought.
That's disgusting, really.
Really, it should have been.
But if it wasn't for the Russians, all those troops would have gone from east to the west, and they would have been.
Well, the Germans had to send a lot of their stuff to fight in the east.
They tied them up. Was it the whole Eighth Army surrendered?
Yeah.
Von Paulus, who was there.
Yeah, Ivan Stalingrad and all that.
He was taken prisoner.
Yeah.
I just thought that could have been written better to say and even if they'd co-shared it and said was one of the central points to ending the Second World War.
We're too busy having a go at Russian and we can't give them any credit for anything.
Because why I said that is they've done surveys in Europe and in America. And a lot of people just believe that America won
the war by themselves.
No, they didn't. Even coming through when they pushed Rommel's Africa Corps out of North Africa, this all predates D-Day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They'd already gotten onto Sicily and Italy and pushed through. Because Monte Cassino is 43, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, let's face it.
We know that.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is...
They're not telling the public.
The public...
really believed America won it on its own.
Yeah, basically.
No.
You're missing the point.
Yeah.
The public are told the story that...
Oh, yeah, I know that.
America, the West, won the war.
Yeah, we know that. We're told that. Yeah.
But we're not told Russia's involvement. And, you know, China, et cetera. So it's interesting.
Yeah, and other components of the war effort as well.
Exactly.
Coming through, up through Italy.
Yeah. And you asked, the Germans lost most of their people on the Eastern Front.
Yeah. Eighth Army is a classic example of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I thought that was that's interesting, you know, just how they word it, you know.
It's just ignorant, biased, one-eyed.
I know when they had...
Half-truths, yep.
They had the D-Day commemoration.
Commemoration.
And they didn't invite the Russians.
Oh, yeah.
No.
You know?
They've done it for a few years now.
Yes. Yeah. Since that Ukrainian thing anyway.
Yeah. And the other thing... Sorry,
go for it.
The other thing
cockroaches?
This is still in this right-wing paper, the Guardian. It's the cockroaches bring Modi down to earth with a thud.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on Al Jazeera on last Sunday.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, the students. Scandal of exam results.
Yeah. They wanted the education minister to resign.
And he's gone.
And he has gone.
Yeah.
But it's been a real shock to Modi because he's ruled like an emperor.
Mm.
He's been used populism in probably, Hindustan and that. Yeah. So he's been naughty. He's used nationalism and...
Opportunist.
And Hindustan, or whatever it's called.
He thinks the word August represents him, but he's not...
And he's basically had a free ride. So this has been quite a shock because those students got really upset about it.
There's one article they covered this on now. They reckon 20 students committed suicide.
Okay.
They found that the results have been scuppered.
So the
competition for these jobs and requires these medical exams, and they find that these jobs have been allocated to certain people in certain areas.
Yeah.
Negating the whole point of going for medical exams.
Yeah. And why they called themselves the cockroach came from a judge, you know, when they...
referred to
likening the unemployed to cockroaches.
Right.
Didn't one of our right-wing leaders say something that similar, not call them cockroaches, about... people unemployed, call them lowly. Who was that? Was that Luxon or someone else? Remember a couple of years back or 5 years back?
Bottom feeders.
Which is a similar
coming to a person who habitually scuttles from any sign of public controversy.
Yeah. But anyway, that's the shock for Murray.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see, because the demonstrators have pressed for no legal action to be taken against participants.
Yeah.
Right.
But the other thing I thought was interesting, they've tried to use a lot of humour. In their movement.
This was nationwide.
They spoke to one of the leaders, I think.
Modi, they're sort of in shock because he's had a free ride for quite some time. And we saw our Prime Minister when Prime Minister Modi was here. We saw just how sort of everyone's treated Prime Minister Modi, and I've always thought, why is he getting such a free ride?
I wouldn't trust him.
Yeah.
Given that extreme Hindu element, I've never trusted him. Because I think Al Jazeera are not allowed to report within India.
No, they've been banned.
But they were able to talk to her.
They've been banned from India for a number of years.
Yeah, but they were able to talk to this leader via satellite, so yeah.
And on an ad item, India is one of the largest suppliers of arms to Israel.
And on that sour note, we're out of here. You can catch us on our podcast, and you can catch us on freefm.org.nz.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.